The 37th plenary meeting of the General Assembly is called to order. I see a lot of people in the room, so I understand that we're ready. The General Assembly will continue its consideration in a joint debate of Agenda Item 63, New Partnership for Africa's Development, Progress in Implementation and International Support, and its sub-items A and B, and Agenda Item 13, Decade to roll back malaria in developing countries, particularly in Africa. I have the pleasure to give the floor to the first distinguished representative who will take the floor, the distinguished representative of Brazil.
Madam President, at the outset, my delegation wishes to thank you for convening this joint debate on the new partnership for Africa's development, on the decade to roll back malaria in developing countries, particularly in Africa. This event is particularly timely since this year we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the African Union and the 10th anniversary of the African Peer Review Mechanism. My delegation would also like to extend its appreciation to the Secretary General for presenting the reports under consideration today. Madam President, as Brazilian President Dilma Rousseff stated during her speech on the occasion of the African Union's Golden Jubilee last May in Addis Ababa, Brazil sees the African continent as a brother and close neighbor. Our African descent constitutes one of the strongest pillars of our culture and our national identity. Brazil's support for NEPAD reflects this awareness of our inextricable connections to Africa. The Secretary General's 11th Progress Report on NEPAD confirms that Africa is undergoing profound economic and social transformations. Over the previous year, encouraging developments have continued to materialize in the fields of infrastructure development, agriculture and food security, health and education, and information and communications technology. In addition, the consolidation of the African Peer Review Mechanism in its 10th year of existence has helped to strengthen mechanisms to identify and put in place African solutions for African challenges. In this regard, we wish to commend the NEPAD Agency, the Office of the Special Advisor for Africa, the African Union, and the Regional Economic Commissions for their consistent efforts. Madam President, we need to recognize, however, that despite the resilience shown by African economies, many challenges persist on the path to sustainable development. In many instances, the chronic lack of resources for public investments hinders the full implementation of NEPAD development plans. In the area of international trade, African countries are faced with many structural barriers to their access to global markets. Lack of trade finance and the imposition of tariff and non-tariff barriers in developed country markets, including trade-distorting subsidies, continue to prevent Africa from meeting its full export potential, especially in agriculture. In that regard, as we approach the WTO Ministerial Conference in Bali next December, we must strive to ensure an outcome that is consistent with the central role of agriculture for developing countries. The continued decline of official development assistance is another cause of concern for African development initiatives. We call on all donor countries and development partners to fulfill their ODA commitments and to intensify support for NEPAD activities in order to sustain the momentum that has been achieved, and bearing in mind that Africa is the only region that is not on track to meet the MDGs by 2015. Madam President, Brazil's commitment to Africa's sustainable development is permanent and unwavering. Our efforts to that effect have been concentrated on cooperation in the fields of health, as well as agriculture and food security, always in accordance with the principles of South-South cooperation, such as non-conditionality and demand-driven assistance. They have also included productive investments in a number of sectors. As far as agriculture and food security are concerned, the Brazilian Agricultural Research Corporation, Embrapa, a state enterprise, continues to provide technology and capacity building through South-South cooperation to various African countries. Examples of ongoing projects include the creation of a community seed banks in South Africa, Mozambique, and Namibia, family agricultural development in Malawi, cooperative development in Benin, and biotechnology laboratorial procedures in Ghana. In addition, Embrapa also supports the production of tropical fruit, cocoa, cotton, rice, and horticulture in countries such as Senegal, Tanzania, Cape Verde, Guinea-Bissau, and Congo, with a view to improving access to food and increasing food security and resilience. Through the Ministry of Rural Development, the Brazilian government is also transferring capacity to countries like Zimbabwe, Kenya, and Ghana to help them develop local versions of one of our national programs, which provides finance for family farming investments in machinery and equipment, irrigation and dairy production, among others. Madam President, in the field of health, in order for Africa to achieve sustainable development, it is essential to make progress in the fight against continental epidemics such as HIV/AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis. To that effect, we have been working together with a number of African governments in order to facilitate access to drugs and treatment throughout the continent. In 2012, in partnership with the government of Mozambique, the Brazilian government health foundation, Fiocruz, opened a medicine factory in Maputo that has been producing 21 types of antiretroviral drugs to combat HIV/AIDS. It is expected that in 2 years, production will be sufficient to cater for the demand of the whole of sub-Saharan Africa. In this regard, it is essential that African and other affected countries continue to be able to make full use of the flexibilities in the WTO TRIPS agreement in accordance with the Doha Declaration on TRIPS and Public Health. Brazil has also participated actively in UN and NEPAD activities to cure and prevent malaria, including the Rollback Malaria Partnership. We have renewed our commitment to cooperate with African countries based on their own national experience in the control and elimination of malaria. On the bilateral level, we have continued to develop joint training and capacity building programs with a number of African countries for the prevention and control of malaria and the overall strengthening of national health systems. Madam President, all of these initiatives are underpinned by the commitments made by African and South American countries at the third Africa-South America summit held last February in Malabo, Equatorial Guinea. On that occasion, nations of the two regions reaffirmed the urgent need to articulate policies in order to achieve food security, including access to food. They also committed to building a productive agenda focused on inclusive, sustainable economic growth that prioritizes local small and medium farmers' production while respecting their traditional methods. We also agreed on 27 different projects for implementation between our two regions in areas of common interest in addition to agriculture, such as education and culture, infrastructure, peace and security, institution building, governance and public administration, and trade. We also wish to highlight the importance of the meeting held last March in Durban, South Africa, between African leaders and leaders of the BRICS group of countries. The meeting focused on the potential for cooperation in infrastructure projects, as well as further initiatives in the areas of health, agriculture and food production, and the sharing of national experiences in the design and implementation of public policies aimed at sustainable development and social inclusion. Madam President, all these initiatives fully align themselves with African development priorities and are geared to provide renewed strength to the ties between Africa and Brazil and South America as we strive to achieve all the MDGs and advance towards the post-2015 development agenda. Thank you.
I thank the distinguished representative of Brazil for his remarks, and I give now the floor to the distinguished representative of Zambia.
Madam President, thank you for according my delegation the opportunity to contribute to the motion on the floor. Zambia wishes to align this statement to that made by Ethiopia on behalf of the Africa Group and China on behalf of the G77. Most of the developmental issues concerning NEPAD have been very well articulated, particularly by Ethiopia, and our delegation wishes to narrow down to one key issue which affects our socio-economic development, which agenda talks about the decade to roll back malaria in developing countries, particularly in Africa. Malaria remains a major public health concern in Zambia, particularly among children under the age of 5 and pregnant women, with over 4 million cases reported every year. My delegation pays special tribute to the Secretary General's report, as well as to the global community for the unprecedented support that the fight against malaria has garnered in the past decade, which contribution the Secretary General very well highlighted in his report. Like the rest of Africa, in which malaria is very endemic, Zambia has been a beneficiary of this unprecedented support that we have received. Madam President, I wish to echo the Secretary General's report and his concerns on the shortfall in global financing for malaria control, particularly for the Global Fund for Malaria, TB, and HIV. We know that increased, sustained, predictable funding to the Global Fund does go a long way in assuring availability of malaria control commodities, as well as consolidating and preventing the reversal of the gains that African, particularly malaria endemic countries, have gained. Like the rest of Africa, my country faces a severe resource constraint, which challenges our ability to make contribution from our local treasury, and so by and large, the contribution from the global community has gone a long way in fostering the gains that we have made in malaria control. Therefore, continued support to attain meaningful and sustained progress is very much needed. Madam President, African countries and their governments remain committed to malaria control efforts, and Zambia, like many malaria endemic countries, has made remarkable reductions in malaria incidence and has embarked on a very ambitious program to eliminate malaria through the use of enhanced surveillance, assured availability of commodities, and particularly integrated prevention and treatment interventions within the communities. Madam President, I'm glad to report that by year end 2012, 72% of households in our country had at least one mosquito net, and we now have all the districts being included in the indoor residual spraying efforts. 74% of households have at least a net or have been sprayed against malaria. And particularly of interest, we have more than 72% of pregnant women receiving antimalarial prophylaxis. Madam President, these efforts have resulted in reductions in malaria incidence and fatalities of about 66%. Thus contributing to MDG 6. Ultimately, Zambia's goal is to eliminate malaria like the rest of Africa, because we believe this is part of our developmental agenda, and the impact that malaria has goes way beyond the health sector. It's a basic social and developmental issue for most African countries. While noting these gains, Zambia, like most of the African countries, has experienced some setbacks and challenges in scaling up planned interventions due to shortfalls in co-financing of programs, especially from the global health initiatives. My delegation therefore calls for increased resources applied to research and surveillance to best inform malaria control efforts, prevent development of resistance to drugs used in malaria control, and prevent resurgence where we have elimination within sight. In support of the Secretary General's report and his observations, we call for consolidation of the gains made by maintaining the aspirations of MDG 6 in the post-2015 development agenda and ensuring that the eradication of malaria globally remains a priority global health issue. I thank you, Madam President.
I thank the distinguished representative of Zambia for his remarks, and I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Algeria.
Madam President, allow me at the outset to welcome Dr. Ibrahim Hassan Mayaki, CEO of the NEPAD Planning and Coordinating Agency. Algeria welcomes the report of the Secretary General on NEPAD and the insights it provides. My delegation wishes to associate itself with the statement made by the distinguished permanent representative of Ethiopia on behalf of the African group. Madam President, this year's Golden Jubilee celebration of the establishment of the OAU, African Union, provide us with the opportunity to take stock of what has been accomplished thus far and to look to the future with confidence. Launched in Abuja in 2001 to spearhead the African Renaissance, the idea of NEPAD is born out of the political imperative for Africans to rely primarily on themselves, to lift the continent out of poverty and to bring to an end the marginalization of Africa from the globalization process. For that purpose, NEPAD has placed the questions of peace, security, democracy, good governance, human rights, women's empowerment, and sound economic management at the heart of sustainable development. While recognizing the political, economic, and social difficulties that have beset Africa's development for decades, NEPAD is also the expression of Africa's will to establish a new partnership anchored in the principle of African leadership and, above all, ownership. Madam President, after a decade of implementation, NEPAD as a program of the African Union produced a number of encouraging results. The promotion of infrastructure development as a driving force for Africa's integration and development led to the adoption in 2010 of the Program of Infrastructure Development in Africa by the African Union's head of states. In addition to having a significant social impact, PIDA will improve Africa's competitiveness, strengthen its potential to attract investment, and will also lead to a 2-point increase in growth. The major structural projects identified thus far will also lead to improved regional cooperation and integration and boost intra-African trade. Landlocked African countries are likely to experience a reduction in transport cost resulting from improved access to seaports and improved infrastructure in transit countries. In this regard, progress made in the project promoted by Algeria to complete the Trans-Sahara Highway and Gas Pipeline, which would link Algeria and Nigeria. Additionally, the fiber optic component of the project linking Algeria, Niger, and Nigeria has also seen substantial progress, as evidenced by the installation of 700 kilometers of the 2,700 kilometers of cable required. Significant progress has also been made within the Comprehensive Africa Development Program. The latter aims at achieving a 6% growth rate of the agricultural sector through the allocation of 10% of national budgets. Today, 30 countries have committed themselves to this program, of which 21 have already adopted a national agriculture investment plan. On the topic of governance, NEPAD has successfully launched the African Peer Review Mechanism as a means of effectively fostering the adoption of policies, standards, and practices that lead to political stability, high economic growth, sustainable development, and accelerated subregional and continental economic integration. The peer review mechanism, which is celebrating this year its 10th anniversary, has consolidated its position as a voluntary instrument promoting good governance. We are pleased to see today 33 countries that have joined these mechanisms, of which 17 have been peer-reviewed. Madam President, although progress has been made in the past year in accelerating growth and social development, persistent challenges, including limited progress towards the attainment of the Millennium Development Goals, linger on. As such, sustained international support will be crucial if Africa is to meet these internationally agreed development goals, including and through a global partnership for development. To this end, we call on the development partners to pursue efforts to deliver on their commitments to the continent's development, including those relating to assistance. All stakeholders need to make a strong push towards the goals in Africa, the only region that is unlikely to attain them by 2015. The launch of the United Nations monitoring mechanism to review the implementation of commitments made to the continent's development is likely to step up efforts toward their full delivery. Madam President, we know too well that the world's prosperity cannot be achieved without that of Africa. Africa is forced to eradicate poverty and hunger, create jobs, and ensure sustainable development must be complemented by sustained support from the developing partners. In this context, we urge the international community to give due attention to Africa's priorities, in particular NEPAD, in the formulation of the post-2015 development agenda. A global partnership for development will be crucial for accelerating efforts to achieve the MDGs, in addition to enabling the implementation of the post-2015 development agenda. I thank you.
I thank the distinguished representative of Algeria, and I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Congo. The distinguished permanent representative of Congo.
Thank you, Madame la Présidente.
Madam President, today's discussion under item 63A and 63B is the outcome of the Week on Africa devoted specifically to NEPAD and the African peer review mechanism at the initiative of the Office of the Special Representative of the Secretary General for Africa, and with the valuable input from the agency responsible for NEPAD and the Secretariat of the APRM. May I express our gratitude to Ambassador Maguid Abdelaziz for the dynamism he has brought to leading this office, and also to thank the Executive Director of the NEPAD Planning Coordination Agency, Dr. Ibrahim Asane Mayaki, who has worked with such conviction in promoting NEPAD. I welcome this initiative that has allowed us to put forward an Africa that has overcome the difficulties of its history to take its fate in hand, uniting around a shared view of development in Africa, which has taken stock of the challenges of governance, peace and security to bring about the changes required to implement this vision. My delegation takes note of the two SG reports published under symbol A68222, New Partnership for Africa's Development, 11th Consolidated Progress Report on Implementation and International Support, and the second report, symbol A68220S, 2013-475, entitled Causes of Conflict and the Promotion of Durable Peace and Sustainable Development in Africa. These two documents give us input regarding the actions undertaken and those that need to be undertaken for Africa and the various Pan-African institutions. With the involvement of both the United Nations and other African partners in giving effect to the various relevant GA instruments and other documents relating to NEPAD. The various statements during the course of the Week on Africa and the two above reports assure us that African countries are engaged in a process of in-depth dynamism and change. Despite the damaging effects of the world economic and financial crisis, we have to look at the indicators. We see that the strategic framework offered by NEPAD have allowed us to make encouraging progress. Moreover, African leadership has become apparent in conflict resolution and the desire to use African mechanisms. Africa has the assets that make it an actor in world globalization. However, we cannot be repeated often enough that African countries individually and collectively have to tackle numerous constraints that are frequently very complex. These challenges that they endeavor to overcome sometimes exceed their capacity. The fate of Africa is tied to that of the rest of the world. This cannot be denied. This is a reality that should inspire other regions of the world, our bilateral and our multilateral partners, to engage in concrete actions and measures in the context of a partnership that must be dynamic and innovative. My delegation would like to endorse the analysis by the Secretary General in his two reports and endorse his recommendations, particularly when he draws attention to the need for our partners to stand by their promises and to honour their commitments, and most particularly to continue to support the efforts being made by the African countries and by the African Union in the quest for durable peace and development. And it is for this reason that Congo commends the commitment of the United Nations and bilateral partners side by side with the member states of the Economic Community of Central African States in the resolution of the Central African Republic. We hope that an outcome will be found in the context of efforts by the leadership of heads of state of the Community of Central African States in close collaboration with the African Union, the support of the UN and bilateral partners. However, the political process that has been initiated in that country must go hand in hand with actions that seek economic and social recovery in order to avoid eroding a hope of a lasting peace and drawing lessons from the challenges that were identified during earlier peace processes. My delegation would like to underline the importance of this type of partnership based on regional and sub-regional initiatives, particularly regarding prevention and settlement of disputes, and this in a context of the priorities defined by the African countries, also by the African Union, the regional and sub-regional organizations, and particularly those in post-conflict situations. Madam, the countries of Africa have never wavered in their prime responsibility, aware that the future of Africa calls upon them to take their own fate in hand, and on the basis of this commitment, they work together and individually to overcome the adversity of events and obstacles and to stand firm in implementing NEPAD, particularly in the light of the outcomes, although nuanced, achieved during the last decade and also the lessons learned from that decade in order to bring hope to millions of Africans and to become a viable partner. And this consistent dynamism has it made it possible to achieve the notable progress that we commend today. And it is in this light that the government of the Republic of the Congo has engaged in action and has implemented the National Development Programme 2012-2016 that is currently being implemented as a continuation of a voluntarist integration policy, which is one of the NEPAD priorities. The National Development Programme is based on five where governance is rightly considered to be the underpinning of economic and social development. The Congo is involved in the self-evaluation and evaluation process of the peer review mechanism since it was initiated in 2003. We are now engaged on the course of good governance. Diversification and growth, social development and inclusion, balance and sustainable development are the other pillars of our development program. Development of economic infrastructures and social infrastructures is the hub because this will make it possible to connect operators to domestic, regional and international markets and to open up pockets of poverty. In the context of interconnection with neighbouring countries, Congo has made particular effort in constructing regional connections. The CAR and Chad are connected through Wessa in Voye and Mogumba. Cameroon, through the connection between Keta Assemblé and Souanké. Gabon, through the connection through Dusala Ndwele Dolisie. And Angola, through Cabinda from Nzazi. And the DRC, through the Brazzaville-Kinshasa-Ilebo Route Rail Bridge. The emblematic project is that of the Route Rail Bridge, which will link Brazzaville to Kinshasa, and which is currently at the study phase. And the same is true of the project to interconnect the Central African electrical grids. Madam, it is commonplace to say that agriculture remains the underpinning of the African economies with a high level of absorption of labour, 90% in rural areas and 60% in total. However, there are many challenges here. Congo is part of the detailed African Agricultural Development Programme initiated in 2010, but hasn't yet managed to devote 10% of its budget to agriculture, as stated in the Maputo Declaration. However, the government has embarked on a policy of developing the agricultural sector. Congo has participated in the signing of the regional framework in Libreville in April 2013. Also, the National Covenant for the Detailed African Agriculture Development Programme. And we are engaged with our partners in improving the macroeconomic framework, the business framework, and in building infrastructures. To carry out these programs, our government intends to improve mobilization of its own revenues while relying on external resources, particularly commitments under particular initiatives such as the Highly Indebted Poor Countries Initiative, the HIPIC Initiative, and also transparent management of oil resources that will enhance our capacity in mobilizing external resources. At a time when we have embarked on formulating the post-2015 agenda and the sustainable development objectives, it seems timely to draw attention to the need to look at these two processes being mutually supporting and mutually coordinated, coherent, without however sacrificing the development objectives that will not be achieved until 2015. And there are many African countries who will not have achieved the MDGs by 2015. However, it is important that the objectives reflect the priorities of NEPAD and Africa. Thank you.
Merci à son excellence.
I thank the permanent representative of Congo. And it is my pleasure to call on the permanent representative of Cameroon. You have the floor, sir.
Madame la
Présidente. Madam President. We read very attentively and with great interest the reports presented by the Secretary General on agenda item 63 small a small b submitted for our consideration. At the outset, we associate ourselves with the statement made on behalf of the African group on these reports. We would also like to commend the Secretary General for the priority that he continues to give to Africa in the light of decisions taken by the deliberative bodies of the UN. We appreciate fully the farsightedness, the vigor, the zeal, and the dedication that the President of the AU Commission, the Special Advisor for Africa, the Executive Secretary of CEA, the head of the African Development Bank, the Executive Secretary of the NEPAD Agency, and their respective staffs put forth for development in Africa, in particular when they make projections, be it short, medium, or long term, including Horizon 2063. On all of the reports presented, as well as that having to do with Agenda Item 13, we would like to make the following remarks and comments. First of all, regarding NEPAD itself, we should emphasize, as affirmed by the Secretary General, that different lighthouse programs, continental programs, implemented as part of NEPAD, including those having to do with infrastructure, agriculture, and governance, are vital to implementing the vision of a continent that is integrated, prosperous, and peaceful. The 11th report submitted by the Secretary General sums up progress made in implementing and on international support for this program, which is celebrating its 10th anniversary as part of the 50th anniversary of the establishment of the OAU, the predecessor of the current AU. It's quite appropriate that this celebration has been placed under the sign of Pan-Africanism and African Renaissance. In fact, for anyone who recalls, our continent has come a long way after a period of slavery, after the colonial period, and more recently, the period of structural adjustments and Afro-pessimism of the 1980s. The continent is rising from the ashes of all these painful periods and intends on reestablishing its unity and its prosperity, always the leitmotif of its leaders since the beginning. We'd like to thank the Secretary General for the large amount of information provided the last 12 months, having to do with support of African countries, support of strategic partners, as well as of the UN system in the priority areas of NEPAD. On the question of infrastructure, we're of the view, along with the SG in para 111 of his report, that the program for developing infrastructure in Africa is the key of Pan-Africanism and of African Renaissance. The different projects contemplated, including priorities in transport, energy, information and communications technology, as well as transboundary waterways, are clearly indicated in the report. They are more than relevant for the development of Africa and are in different stages of planning, programming, or implementation. We support them firmly. It's important to emphasize that these projects are based to a large extent on financing from Africa, and in this way show that, which is what African leaders have always said, that the initial responsibility for development in Africa is up to Africa most of all. Cameroon supports in particular those of the projects having to do with roads, bridges, telecommunications, and integration, national, regional, and sub-regional, in Africa. Our country itself has engaged a large national program called Large Accomplishments, including the construction of ports, hydroelectric plants and dams, roads, infrastructure for new and renewable energies, on agriculture and food security. The Secretary General notes that African countries continue to make progress in implementing commitments undertaken through the detailed program for development and agriculture in Africa, as well as the objective to allocate 10% of their budget for developing agriculture. Our country is strongly committed to this, thanks to different planned projects or projects being implemented. We would make an appeal that challenges identified by the SG in his report and which are hindering progress in Africa be overcome, in particular the lack of funding as well as limits in the area of technological capabilities. On health, the Secretary General notes that progress made to achieve the Abuja objective, namely allocating 15% of the national budget to improve the health sector, has been slow. At the same time, many countries in Africa, like Cameroon, have accomplished remarkable progress in fighting HIV/AIDS, malaria, and other infectious diseases. The foundation, Chantabia, the First Lady of our country, as well as the organization called Synergie Africaine that she established with other African First Ladies, are now pooling their efforts here. As emphasized by the Secretary General, the most urgent challenges to take up to increase progress in the area of health are the lack of training of qualified staff, international migration, morbidity, and premature mortality. On teaching and training, the Secretary General notes that African countries have made efforts and have achieved noticeable progress, especially in primary and secondary education, especially of girls. Our country is ahead of the curve in this area. As emphasized by the Secretary General in Para 38 of his report on challenges, African governments must continue to promote education policies offering the best to students, the best and necessary competencies and the possibilities of decent employment. On the environment and tourism, progress has also been made by African countries in areas such as combating soil degradation, drought, and desertification, conservation of humid areas and protected areas, transboundary management of waterways and natural resources. The continent has had an increase in tourists of about 52 million, as indicated by the Secretary General. Our country has doubled its portion of tourists for the period under review. To consolidate this progress, particularly on the environment, African countries must obtain their fair share in financing from environmental programs, in particular those having to do with forests. Do we need to emphasize further that the Congo Basin is the second largest forest reserve in the world after the Amazon, and that countries like Cameroon, who possess these resources, make a significant contribution to the higher interests of mankind with respect to climate, to biodiversity, the economy, and other global property? Consequently, we must continue to enjoy these things and be justly compensated for sharing them by mankind. With respect to information and communication technologies, the Secretary General notes in his report the two main objectives under the activities of NEPAD, namely to connect all African countries among themselves and with the rest of the world through underwater cables, fiber optic cables, high speed, as well as the school computer initiative, the goal of which is to equip all primary and secondary schools with a system of information and communications technology. Praiseworthy progress has been made by African countries here, particularly the protection of the rights of intellectual property and governance of information and communications technology. Our country, through the competent national administrations, is involved in developing a large program of projects having to do with information and communications technologies. It remains, as was emphasized by the SG in his report, for Africa as a diverse continent with a number of languages, traditions, and customs to necessarily have solutions that are adapted to specific markets. And support must be given to the African Union for the establishment of a regional center that is attractive to the Pan-African Internet community and the advisory committee of the Internet government to assign names, domains, and accounts. With respect to science and technology, the report emphasizes the efforts made by NEPAD to forge partnerships and to use them for the purposes of promoting innovation in Africa through regional networks of centers of excellence in the area of biosciences, as well as African indicators for science, technology, and innovation. We support these efforts, and we emphasize here all of the initiatives undertaken nationally by Cameroon through the Ministry of Scientific and Technological Research and Innovation. Regarding gender equality, empowerment of women, and their participation in civil society, the Secretary General indicates the significant commitments made by African governments in a number of international instruments, as well as encouraging progress made in terms of honoring these commitments. Cameroon is also at the head of the class, having to do with protecting women's rights, children's rights, those of disabled persons, as well as the participation in civil society, particularly young people, for development, for which a national agency has been established. With respect to the APRM, the Secretary General notes that he has continued to strengthen and to institutionalize good governance, political and economic, and enterprise management in Africa. 33 countries, including Cameroon, have joined this mechanism, and 17 of them have been considered or examined by it. Thanks to this mechanism, the AU Peace and Security Council, as well as a number of measures taken by African governments nationally, subregionally, and on the continent, have appeared, having to do with democracy, good governance, respective rights, and these are more defended now in Africa than previously. Madam President, all of the commitments and progress noted by the Secretary General, by Africa in his reports, and in a number of different areas that we have just mentioned, have not been reciprocated by the international community. The Secretary General regrets a number of shortcomings observed, among which development aid flows to the continent, which is lower than what had been promised. The number of traditional donors, as well as a source of capital for Africa, continues to decline. The debt burden for African countries has continued to exist. With respect to ODA and other private flows, they've grown a little bit, but have been mostly focused on a number of countries and in the extractive sectors, while African priorities for industry have to do with rapid processing and in building value-added primary products in all African countries. Resources for assistance to commerce allocated in Africa have gone down. In this unedifying picture, encouraging signs have appeared in cooperation of Africa with some of its strategic partners, particularly the new emerging countries, in particular countries from the south. The same thing applies with for cooperation in the TICAD process, with the announcement by Japan of new amounts of financing. China, the Republic of Korea, India, Brazil, Turkey, and the U.S., who have also announced global or sectoral financing. It remains that all this financing must be substantiated so as not to fall into the trap of previous promises up to now not held. It's obviously understood that African countries must do their utmost to ensure the effectiveness of the assistance as agreed during the conferences in Paris or more recently in Busan in the Republic of Korea. With respect to support given by UN bodies, they're just as diverse as the bodies of the system and have their different areas of competence. We welcome all of their contributions, and we hope that their presentation in future SG reports will include a critical analysis based on a forecasting matrix which defines ahead of time the nature, the objectives, the possible amounts of each one of the expected contributions and validated contributions following a timetable of implementation. On commerce, negotiations of the Doha cycle must be concluded as soon as possible, and they must adopt recommendations supporting greater integration of African countries in the global economy by curing the structural and infrastructure obstacles which reduce their capacity to participate in global trade. We support, finally, all of the conclusions and recommendations made by the SG in his reports, in particular those calling for the donors to honor their commitments that they have undertaken for Africa, and also calling for the establishment of a UN mechanism whose job it would be to follow through on the commitments undertaken for development in Africa. The Bureau of the Special Advisor for Africa, that office which will provide the this mechanism, must be strengthened. We support the SG's proposal, which will be studied by the Fifth Committee. Madam President, the report of the SG on the causes of conflict and the promotion of peace and sustainable development in Africa sums up the question by focusing on major developments which have taken place in the last 12 months in Africa, as well as the efforts and activities conducted to strengthen cooperation, prevention, and conflict management, to maintain and build peace, to rebuild in the aftermath of a conflict human rights, rule of law, administration of justice, support for security sector reform, disarmament, demobilization, reintegration. All of these activities show well enough that our continent has not yet fully emerged from turbulence, ideological rivalries, and a multiplicity of interests. The situation currently ongoing in CAR merits special attention, so that this fraternal country, already on the agenda of the PBC, to ensure that it will not become mired once again in an acute crisis with many repercussions in our sub-region and in the African plot line generally. The countries in Central Africa and the AU on this matter have taken significant measures to safeguard peace and to bring about a return to constitutional order in this country. Cameroon is contributing actively to these measures, as proved, among other things, by the participation of TCCs for peacekeeping in CAR and the recent appointment of a Cameroonian general to direct the mission put in place by the African Union. We call on and we welcome the efforts and the support provided, or that will be provided by the UN and by other partners, for peace and development in Central Africa. According to the recent appeal launched and the measures undertaken or contemplated by the countries of the Community of States of Central Africa on CAR. Beyond that, and in the Gulf of Guinea, the phenomenon of piracy and robbery has undergone somewhat of a rebirth. In an attempt to thwart this phenomenon, the countries of West Africa and those of Central Africa met in Cameroon on the 24th to 25th of June 2013 upon the instigation of the Security Council and took significant measures, including the establishment of an interregional center for coordination, the headquarters of which will be Yaoundé. Provisions are being undertaken to operationalize this center as soon as possible. The cooperation of the UN and other international partners is necessary to strengthen the effectiveness of the center. Madam President, on the decade for rolling back malaria in developing countries, especially in Africa, actions undertaken by African countries and whose record is given on a quarterly basis by the executive director of ALMA continues to produce significant results. Our country, once again, is in the lead, having to do with developing policies and vigorous measures taken and executed by the Ministry of Public Health. I would emphasize that here, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So here, in-house spraying, free distribution of mosquito nets, long-term, are vital assets in combating malaria. However, it still remains true that the African and global scientific community are steadfastly engaged in looking for an effective vaccine against this plague as soon as possible, which is in line with Africa's firm will to eradicate malaria once and for all. Madam President, as was stated in a very relevant way in the joint publication of August 2012 by the leaders of NEPAD, of the UN Economic Commission for Africa, and by the Office of the Special Advisor of the SG for Africa, and I quote, "The next decade of development in Africa must be moved by new efforts to strengthen ownership and to give the full measure to potential, to measures, and to talents existing in Africa to ensure its development. Many challenges and opportunities await. Africa will only succeed if it remains on the path of major political and socioeconomic reforms articulated through fundamental values of ownership and leadership, strong leadership by Africans and by partnership having to do with value." End of quote. Thank you very much, Madam President.
Je remercie son excellence.
I thank His Excellency, the Permanent Representative of Cameroon.
To the distinguished representative of Nigeria. Oh, the distinguished Deputy Permanent Representative of Nigeria. Welcome.
Your Excellency, Madam Chairperson, thank you very much for giving my delegation the opportunity to interact in the consideration of the Secretary General's very interesting reports on Agenda Item 63A and 63B. And we appreciate this opportunity to engage in deliberations on important matters of great importance to our region. My delegation, first of all, aligns itself with the statement made by the distinguished representative of Ethiopia on behalf of the African group. Madam Chairperson, the economic and developmental challenges facing Africa are indeed unique, and approaches to resolving them must lend credence to a development philosophy that takes due cognizance of local circumstances, recognizes the utilization of sub-regional, regional, and international mechanisms to development, and one that uses a new paradigm in charting a development path for Africa. These challenges led to the creation of NEPAD over a decade ago as Africa's blueprint, with emphasis on ownership and partnership geared towards securing Africa's economic renewal and development. Nigeria reiterates that efforts should be geared towards attaining the set targets for each of the 9 clusters identified by NEPAD and call on all African countries and their partners to build on the existing progress and to fully identify with the operational blueprint of NEPAD. In this regard, we note that failures of past development plans in Africa have had less to do with the lack of applaudable frameworks
but mainly due to haphazard implementation. My delegation therefore commends the Economic Commission for Africa, ECA, the African Development Bank, the UN Development Partners, and other regional players in their efforts at implementing the programs and objectives of NEPAD and providing technical and other specialized services to member states. Madam Chair, since the inception of NEPAD, there has been a renewed confidence that through its ongoing strategies, Africa will be able to resolve her developmental challenges. It is, however, imperative to ensure that its broader mandate remains in focus. In this regard, divergent interests must be supplanted by the collective, and commitments by member states towards successful partnership must remain unwavering. Nigeria stresses the need for individual member states to strive harder to mainstream the development agenda into their sectoral programs, using regional blocs as tools for continental economic integration. Nigeria therefore commends the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, the member states of ECOWAS, for their various contributions that culminated in the signing in 2009 of the first regional agricultural compact. We believe that such positive steps can be replicated in other subregions and meshed into the larger continental project. It has been recognized worldwide that NEPAD stands on the planks of good governance, capacity building, and partnership. In order to generate the required momentum that will guarantee a steady progress towards the implementation of the partnership's objectives, we must not lose sight of the need to boost the continent's capacity to govern and develop long-term policies and strategies. Madam Chair, while we acknowledge that much progress has been achieved in the implementation of NEPAD priority sectors, we believe that more remains to be done with regard to the NEPAD agenda, particularly in the area of infrastructural development. Nigeria, therefore, welcomes the Program for Infrastructural Development in Africa and the implementation of the Presidential Infrastructure Champion Initiative. We believe that infrastructural deficit is one of the factors responsible for the non-attainment of many of our objectives for development in Africa. Nigeria is of the firm view that NEPAD's goals of building strong economic infrastructures as well as creating favorable environment for investment remain crucial. It is through this approach that Africa can be pulled out of its present economic difficulties to enable it prosper as it rightly should. Turning to sub-item B, Madam Chair, much has been said about the inextricable link between durable peace and sustainable development in Africa. A continent as diverse as Africa can best realize partnership goals when rancorous impediments give way to lasting peace and security. My delegation recognizes that conflict, no matter its size, poses serious challenges to proper integration of African states, as it hampers the successful implementation of the NEPAD goals. My delegation calls for the continued utilization of the continent's early warning system aimed at preventing conflicts. In addition, member states should embrace an effective mechanism to mediate conflicting interests. It is for this reason that Nigeria chose the theme, Advocating Preventive Diplomacy for Peace, during her campaign for the non-permanent seat of the United Nations Security Council last week. There is no doubt that prevention of conflicts is a cheaper option for maintaining peace and security in the world. Indeed, it is becoming evident that prevention of conflict is the best form of preserving the gains of development. There is therefore need to continue to give new impetus to conflict prevention strategies. Poverty is both a cause and effect of conflicts in Africa and remains a global challenge, since the ripple effects transcend beyond African frontiers. It is therefore the responsibility of all to engage as positive catalysts in actualizing a conflict-free Africa and to ensure that the achievements so far recorded in the region are further consolidated. In this regard, we commend the efforts of NEPAD in reconstructing post-conflict countries and providing credible transition and exit strategies. We equally call for the continued financial and institutional support of the UN Peace Building Commission. Moving to the next issue on the agenda, Madam Chair, which is the health-related sector, we note that malaria remains a major public health and development challenge in Africa as well as in Nigeria. However, we have fully embraced the unique opportunities to scale up malaria-related interventions, strengthen our systems, and make a major effort to roll back the disease. In our commitment to accelerate and intensify efforts on malaria control, the federal government of Nigeria launched the National Malaria Strategic Plan 2009-2013 for malaria control that was developed by the National Malaria Control Program in partnership with the Rollback Malaria Partners, state governments, and other stakeholders. The Malaria Strategic Plan addresses national health development priorities, including the Rollback Malaria Plan and the Millennium Development Goals. The Malaria Strategic Plan is organized around a balanced package of preventive services to reduce disease burden and curative services to care for the sick, address the stated priority of rapid scale-up of the prevention interventions to decrease infection burden and to rapidly decrease costs of curative care in terms of drug costs, health capacity operations, and household expenditure. Nigeria has also commenced the development of a new malaria strategic plan for 2014-2020 with emphasis on malaria elimination. We also wish to inform that Nigeria was selected as one of the 9 countries to pilot the Affordable Medicines Facility Malaria. This project, which is managed by the Global Fund, receives financial support from UNAID, the Department for International Development, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Its goal is to reduce the retail price of artemisinin-based combination therapy, ACTs, to a point that they are so as affordable as many of the cheapest antimalarial monotherapies. We also wish to inform that the United States Agency for International Development has funded malaria activities in Nigeria. In 2011, Nigeria became a recipient country under the President's Malaria Initiative, PMI, of the United States government. Through this, we received a total of $103.7 million in funding for 2011-2012. The 2013 PMI operational plan for Nigeria was developed during a planning visit carried out in June 2012 with U.S. Agency for International Development and U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention headquarters and field staff. The Global Fund Phase 2 has been targeted to procuring 26 million long-lasting insecticide-treated nets between 2011 and October 2014, with a co-funding option for about 10 million more such nets during this time frame. Madam Chair, Nigeria, along with other African countries, recently adopted the African Union Roadmap on Shared Responsibility and global solidarity for HIV/AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria, based on the three pillars of innovative financing, universal access to medicines and diagnostics, and committed leadership and governance. We will continue to play an active role in vigorously supporting the objectives of the roadmap and their beneficial advancement. In line with our unwavering commitment to multilateral action in the fight against malaria and other diseases, Nigeria hosted the Abuja Plus 12 Summit of African Union on HIV/AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria in July 2013. Amongst other outcomes, the summit was able to review the level of achievement of the set targets of the 2001 and 2006 AU meetings, identify gaps, constraints, and challenges to the achievement of the Abuja Declaration and the MDG targets, and also identify new strategies that will enable Africa to chart a new and more realistic course towards achieving these targets. Most importantly, there was renewed commitment by African leaders to addressing these diseases and promoting health and well-being in Africa. The federal government has a special interest in malaria elimination and is determined to continue pursuing a framework that will give the necessary support to ensure elimination of the disease and achievement of MDGs and relevant targets. Finally, Madam Chair, other issues raised in the Secretary General's report are of high interest to Nigeria, and they have either been addressed in committee meetings or we will take them on at appropriate meetings in order to elaborate on their importance and the actions being taken at the national level to implement them competently and in structured manner. I thank you for your attention.
I thank the distinguished representative of Nigeria for his remarks, and I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of the United Republic of Tanzania.
Madam President, it is an honor for the United Republic of Tanzania to address this assembly on this important day for Africa, a day we celebrate not only the 50th anniversary of the Organization of African Unity and African Union, but the 10th anniversary of African Peer Review Mechanism, APRM, and the Comprehensive Africa Agriculture Development Program, CADEP. We align ourselves with the statements delivered by the distinguished representative of Ethiopia on behalf of Africa, as well as the representative of China on behalf of the G77 and China. Africa has made considerable gains in strengthening governance. Efforts are ongoing to promote and reinforce further governance through NEPAD's peer review mechanism. Similarly, many African countries are now embracing democracy, rule of law, and promoting transparent public administration. However, more work is needed to strengthen the gains achieved in this area. Africa is still facing a myriad of challenges, some of which are chronic in nature. Some parts of the continent are entangled in protracted conflicts which continue to claim lives of thousands while displacing millions and hampering development. Steadily but surely, we are seeing positive results to African solutions to these African challenges. And we are committed to eradicating conflicts in the continent by addressing their underlying causes. Madam President, the United Republic of Tanzania is among the 31 African countries which have voluntarily acceded to the APRM. In acceding, we have undertook to promoting and protecting democracy and human rights by developing clear standards of accountability, transparency, and participatory governance. We have submitted periodic reports to the mechanism, and our first country report was issued early this year. The report records remarkable progress on democratic and economic governance and management. It also notes that there remains challenges of translating our economic growth into a broad-based, pro-poor, and inclusive development. The government has made a commitment to the National Program of Action as a way of implementing the APRM's recommendation. Therefore, our great task comprises of efforts at reducing poverty, inequality, and youth unemployment towards an inclusive and transformed development of our country. We believe we can succeed. In doing so, we count on all social actors and development partners in the spirit of an underlying effort. Madam President, as we celebrate the 10th anniversary of CADEP, we remind ourselves that agriculture is the backbone of most of our African countries, whereby around 70% in Tanzania alone depends on agriculture for their livelihood. In this regard, many governments have undertaken to increase investment in agriculture so as to increase crop productivity and ultimately food security. My government allocates almost 10% of the national budget to agricultural development and food security and has initiated several public-private partnerships in this sector, taking full advantage of conducive investment climate existing in the country. Madam President, another challenge for Africa is malaria. Since the United Nations General Assembly passed the first malaria resolution in 2000, we have witnessed enhanced political commitment and global attention on the fight against malaria. At least 11 countries and 32 malaria endemic countries outside Africa have attained a decrease of more than 50% of confirmed cases of malaria between year 2000 and year 2009. Hundreds of thousands of lives have been saved. Despite the fact that malaria is an entirely preventable and treatable disease, too many people are still suffering and are dying from it. When 100 people die in an accident or in a war, we are shocked. We should, however, remember that in 2010 alone, the disease killed an estimated 660,000 people. In Tanzania, malaria is a leading cause of inpatients and outpatients and death. Between 30 and 40% of all outpatient visits are attributable to malaria. It is a leading killer of children and pregnant women who die every day. Madam President, malaria control remains a global emergency, even more so for Africa. Malaria control interventions have a positive impact on overall child and maternal mortality rates and could help us to reach Millennium Development Goals, particularly Goal 4 and 5, of reducing child mortality and improving maternal health, respectively, by 2015. This is why my government has implemented several interventions to address this disease. We have succeeded to reduce prevalence of malaria in young children by 44% between 2008 and May 2012. In Zanzibar, death due to malaria is near zero. Our challenge in Zanzibar is to sustain these achievements. For mainland Tanzania, we are replicating lessons learned from the island of Zanzibar, namely residual spraying on malaria breeding sites, availability of long-term insecticide-treated nets at every bedside, and early treatment for those infected with malaria, and control and surveillance to prevent re-emergence of this epidemic. Madam President, on the other hand, the government has embarked on an expensive, comprehensive program to deal with the question of access to health care. The program will ensure that there is a dispensary in every village and a healthcare center in every ward. This program will certainly be instrumental in the success of our anti-malaria efforts, as it will guarantee prompt diagnosis and prompt treatment. It is in this endeavor that we need partnerships and support from the international community. We thank our bilateral and multilateral partners who have provided us with financial and technical support. We call for their continued support to complement the government's efforts in implementing the malaria strategy and eradicating malaria in Tanzania. Madam President, the challenge facing the global community is to intensify efforts and commitments to avoid the reversal of the gains made thus far and to push for greater progress in sustainable interventions. Many strategies have been put in place to combat malaria. And in this regard, we recognize the African Leaders Malaria Alliance in its work towards this. We have learned that the current strategies alone are unlikely to achieve the goal of eliminating the disease, and thus we are also at risk of diminishing efficacy due to the development of drug resistance and insecticide resistance on the part of parasites and Anopheles mosquitoes, respectively. It is for this reason that on 24th of September, the Multisectoral Action Framework for Malaria was launched. The action framework proposes broad advances in human development and more joint action from global and sectoral ministries to village levels. We call on member states and the international community to support this great global effort. We also take this opportunity to welcome the Secretary General's selection of malaria as a forefront of his five-year action agenda covering the period 2012-2017. We believe this commitment will develop new partnerships and improve existing ones to scale up high-impact interventions aimed at significantly reducing the number of deaths from malaria. In conclusion, I wish to urge the international community and the United Nations to work more closely and actively with the African Union in an effort to resolve the remaining conflicts and consolidate peace and security in Africa. We further need to work together to ensure malaria control and elimination remains a key priority in the post-2015 development agenda. We must also ensure sustained focus and attention on strengthening health systems and human capacity development to enable malaria endemic countries improve their overall response to the challenges. Permit me, Madam President, to conclude by reiterating our national motto in respect of malaria. And it reads in Kiswahili, Malaria haikubaliki, tuungane pamoja kuitokomeza, which simply translates, malaria is unacceptable. Let us join hands to eliminate it. And I thank you, Madam President.
I thank the distinguished representative of the United Republic of Tanzania, and I now give the floor to His Excellency, the Permanent Representative of Mozambique.
Madam President, as I am taking the floor for the first time since your assumption to the presidency of this august body, allow me to start by warmly congratulating you and all members of the Bureau on your elections to preside over the 68th session of the United Nations General Assembly. I wish to reiterate the commitment expressed by His Excellency President Armando Guebuza at the General Debate to render all our support to you, Madam President, for a successful outcome of this session of the General Assembly. Mozambique aligns itself with the statement delivered by the distinguished representative of Ethiopia on behalf of the Africa Group and that of the distinguished representative of Fiji on behalf of the Group of 77 and China. Madam President, this joint debate is held against the backdrop of the momentum created by the commemoration of the 58th anniversary of the formation of the Organization of the African Union and the 10th anniversary of the African Union, a celebration that reaffirmed the principles and values of Pan-Africanism and African Renaissance. It has been a year of acclamation of Africa's accomplishments and of reaffirmation of its resolve to fulfill the vision of social progress for the peoples of Africa through democratic governance and economic emancipation. Therefore, it would have been desirable that this historic moment be celebrated in peace to permit us to focus our attention on our development goals. This is an aspiration that we'll continue to pursue with resolve. In this regard, I welcome the two reports of the Secretary General under consideration, and I would like to seize the opportunity to express our appreciation to his tireless efforts to uphold the United Nations commitment to support Africa's agenda for peace and sustainable development. I also wish to commend the Special Advisor on Africa for his continued engagement for an effective support to Africa and for undertaking the various initiatives that mark the 10th anniversary of the New Economic Partnership for Africa's Development, NEPAD, and the Africa Peer Review Mechanism, APRM. Madam President, since the 90s, Africa has been engaged in a democratization process that, in its essence, is a recognition that peace and stability can only be sustained in an inclusive society. As a result, in this early stage of our democracies, the steps taken to modernize the judicial system, the consolidation of the role of our civil society, and the culture of the rule of law in Africa is a clear and positive indication that we are indeed on the right path. Galvanized by this belief and by the desire of peace, Mozambique embarked on a democratization process that reviewed its constitution in 1990 and 2004, first to introduce the essential principles for the existence of a multi-party democracy, namely democratic rule of law, separation of power and political pluralism, and second, to reaffirm and deepen those democratic principles. In these endeavors, citizen participation in all spheres of life proved to be an enabling tool for inclusive governance. Giving a voice to people is fundamental in a democratic society as it allows them to be conscious participants of national development processes. In this regard, decentralization and devolution of decision-making processes undoubtedly contribute to foster social inclusion and thus reinforce democracy and prevent conflict. Similarly, strengthening integrity and transparency mechanisms to guarantee a fair distribution of resources through improved access to public goods and public services such as education, health, safe drinking water, and job opportunities adds to these noble goals. As part of its development agenda, Mozambique embarked in a decentralization and devolution process that seeks to ensure a more inclusive and participatory role to all stakeholders, including local communities. To this end, the government established, among other measures, the District Consultative Board, an institution through which local communities have a decisive role in governance. To further empower the communities, the government also established an annual fund for local development, commonly known as the 7 Million Fund, to finance food production and initiatives with potential to generate employment in rural and urban areas in which the local communities are the sole managers. As a result, we have upheld the rule of law, promote development, and forge more political and economically empowered communities. Madam President, with the advent of multi-party democracy, the holding of multi-party elections became part of our commitment to good governance and the rule of law. Unfortunately, this process is challenged not only by the scourge of poverty and disease that regrettably continues to affect a substantial part of our population, but also by the occurrence of incidents that, while disruptive in their nature, are peculiar to countries in post-conflict situations. Our experience has shown that political dialogue, robust democratic institutions and processes is the most sustainable solution to political instability. To this end, we'll continue to use dialogue as the vehicle to nurture a democratic culture under which political forces learn to conform to the democratic principles and rules. We also reiterate our commitment to build credible institutions that can adequately address the challenges brought about by democratic governance in our particular context. In addition, we will continue to count on the African peer review mechanism to address policy challenges, taking advantage of its constructive and inclusive dialogue with all stakeholders. This is, with no doubt, another instrument for confidence building and for the reaffirmation of our national commitment to the values and principles, both in the political and economic governance. Madam President, good governance demands respect for basic human rights, from civil, political, economic, and social to cultural rights, all inalienable rights embedded in our overarching goal for peace, stability, and sustainable development. As you approach the deadline for the Millennium Development Goals 2015, the uneven progress in attaining this goal, particularly in Africa, demands that special attention be given to Africa's needs. Therefore, We should strengthen the momentum generated with the Rollback Malaria Decade by directing our efforts to measures that go beyond the goal of malaria prevention. Malaria remains a great challenge to Africa's effort to achieve the MDGs, as it has a direct impact on social and economic structure, affecting the most vulnerable, in particular children under five, pregnant women, socially disadvantaged groups, and people living with HIV and AIDS. To address the scourge of malaria, as well as the other challenges facing Africa, partnerships are of paramount importance. In this regard, we reiterate the call made by the Secretary General for the UN system, member states, and other partners to continue to strengthen their support and cooperation with Africa. I would like to conclude by stressing that we are confident that the engagement of Africa, coupled with the commitment of partners like the G20, G8, the BRICS, and other international partners to support Africa's efforts to reach the Millennium Development Goals, allow us to look to the future of Africa with an increasing hope and optimism. I thank you for your kind attention.
I thank His Excellency, the Parliamentary Representative of Mozambique, for his intervention. We have heard the last speaker of the debate on these items for this meeting. The Assembly has thus concluded this stage of its consideration of Agenda Item 63 and its sub-items A and B and Agenda Item 13. Thank you all. The meeting is adjourned.